No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
I would love to be talking about the Manitoba Moose, who are currently up 1-0 over the Abbotsford Canucks in Winnipeg, Ezzy. But this is the Illegal Curve post-game show, where we talk about the Winnipeg Jets, generally speaking, and then we talk about the Moose towards the end of the show. But based on what we saw through 40 minutes of hockey in Elmont, New York, there's not much good that's going to come out of this post-game show for the Jets because they no-showed after, you know, Brendan Dillon had some choice words for his club. And I would point out those were three power play goals they gave up. So you could say, well, they lost based on special teams. But this was a loss at 5-on-5. This was a loss for a team that wasn't ready to go. New York Islanders were ready to go. New York Islanders, who had lost three games coming into this one, and we talked about it on this morning's Illegal Curve hockey show, that this was going to be a desperate Islanders team. And while the Jets are not desperate, Ezzy, they had to try and match that intensity level that New York you knew was going to bring with, you know, Patrick Waugh at the helm. And they were unable to do so through the first 20, through the first 40. And, you know, too little, too late. Hockey's not a 20-minute game. So welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show after my little soliloquy. I'm Dave Manouk. This is Ezzy Ginsberg. Good afternoon to Winnipeg. Good afternoon to Manitoba. And good afternoon to all of those joining us live somewhere on the interweb. Ezzy, what are your initial thoughts after what we just saw, where the Jets came back, but as I just discussed, was too little, too late?
I definitely have a few thoughts, Dave M. That's for sure. After we watched that crap this afternoon, first thought is Drew picked a good time to go on vacation. My second thought was that the best part of this game was when Naomi texted me and looked at the score of the game and asked me to do some chores around the house. So I got some laundry in during the third period. I put the laundry from the washing machine into the dryer, cleaned up the kids' lunch. So that was good. I was actually productive while watching the Jets game, but all kidding aside, I mean, that was just unacceptable, Dave. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, right? Like, you're playing desperate teams, and the Islanders are now, I believe, 4 points back of the Red Wings, if I'm not mistaken, because the Red Wings, before the game started, the Red Wings had 78 points. They're in the second wildcard spot.
Yeah.
And the Islanders had 73 points, and now they've got 75 points. So the Islanders are now 3 points back of the Red Wings, and then you've got the Capitals, who are 1 point back of the Red Wings, right? So you're playing desperate teams right now. And mm-hmm. I mean, this game was over, in my opinion, after Cal Clutterbuck got that second goal, right? And that's what you did not expect in this game, is you did not expect the fourth line to be the one that was causing all the damage, right? And the thing that was probably the most troubling to me, Dave, was, you know, you're down 3-1 after one period. So you're thinking, okay, that was as one-sided, probably the worst first period of the season for the Jets.
Right.
Because the shots ended up, even though we were joking, the shots, it was originally 15-6 for the Jets. Then it was 14-3 or something.
Yeah, it changed like 8 times.
Right? So, I mean, it was very one-sided, just looking at the shots in addition to the score. But then the Jets come out just so flat in the second period. And then the Islanders go up 4-1. And then they go up 5-1. And then, obviously, they go up 6-1 before the second period is over. And it's just unacceptable the way that they were playing defensively in their own zone. Like, I put this out on X/Twitter. You heard Jamie McLennan talking about it during the intermission on TSN. You heard Kevin Sawyer talking about it with Dan Robertson on the broadcast. Like, it was just way too easy for the Islanders to gain the Jet zone.
Yeah.
And you know, use their speed. And it was just getting burned off the rush. Mm-hmm. We saw that against the Devils. But the thing with the Devils game is all the goals came on the power play, with the exception of one goal. There were three power play goals.
That's right.
That the Devils scored against the Jets. But it was just the Jets getting absolutely dominated off of the rush. And I just thought defensively, like, it wasn't even that the structure wasn't there. I just thought they were backing up too much and letting the Islanders' skilled players just dominate. Like, you saw, you know, Matt Barzal was just able to basically go through the entire Jets roster in this game, right? And, like, all due respect to Hudson Fashing, like, Hudson Fashing isn't Wayne Gretzky, but in this game, he certainly looked like Gretzky, right? So it was just not acceptable. The game was over after the second period. And Dave, I realized that you know, the Jets poured on the shots and scored a couple goals, but really, from a Jets perspective, that's really the only positive from this game. And I stress only positive because it's a small positive. The Jets score a couple goals in the third period. Then obviously Cole Perfetti gets his first goal in 24 games. So obviously good for Cole. But those first two periods are unacceptable coming off of that loss to the Devils. And now the Jets have to beat the Capitals for this to be a successful road trip, right? You beat the Blue Jackets, you beat the Rangers. So it looked like the Jets might go 5-0 on this road trip. Now the Jets might go 2-3 on this road trip. The Capitals are playing very well. And as we talked about, they're only 1 point out of that wild card spot, one point behind the Red Wings. So this was just ugly, Dave, in so many different ways.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it, Ezzy. And this Jets team, again, they're comfortably in, well, I say comfortably, who knows what Nashville's doing. I mean, it's a 7-point deficit for Nashville right now, but they're rolling 16 straight games with a point. So you don't want to rule them out in any way, shape, or form. But look, you don't want to slide backwards. And this team is well ahead of last year's team. So we're not talking about the same things. I mean, this team is not last year's team. And I know folks want to say that and they want to point to it, but you can't compare, you can compare them, I guess, in the sense that Rick Bowness and Scott O'Neill and Marty Johnson and Brad Lauer are still the coaches, but you've had enough guys come into the, come into this room and new players. And sorry, my mic.
That's a good point by you. Stupid thing reset. So fortunately, folks, I'm sorry about my mic was a little bit off there, but now I'm back. Now I'm back in good contention. I'm like the Jets.
You sound much better, Dave.
Ezzy, I'm like the Jets. I wasn't ready to start the show the way I needed to start the show.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, it took 7 minutes for me to get going. Unfortunately for the Jets, it took them 40, and they were already down 6 points. That game was over. I've still got a chance to have a comeback and have a good show if I can. But like I said, sorry to the folks for the poor audio in that regard. Sometimes it's so annoying to have to switch these things up. But anyways, it comes down to this Jets club needs to look each other in the eyes and look in the mirror and figure this out, because you're allowed to have a bad performance. And, you know, like people say, you can't necessarily win 82 games and nobody's expecting you to, right? And look, as Ezzy pointed out on this morning's show, Boston Bruins won, what would they win? Like 60 games a few years ago? And they get knocked out by Florida. So winning in the regular season is important. It's how you, and again, and one thing I remember looking at years ago was how important was the final 10 games. So the Jets have more than 10 more. They've got 12 games, I think, left on the schedule, but, or 11. But ultimately, this is a team that needs to kind of reset themselves. And again, like you said, Ezzy, it's not easy. You've got the Washington Capitals tomorrow. And we know where they are and what they're wanting to do in the role they're on currently. And then you've got the Oilers and you've got Vegas. Now, Vegas is not exactly tough, but they've beaten the Jets so far. And, you know, the Oilers are going to want to have a good effort. And so this, you don't have, we're not here to make excuses. And ultimately, like, no offense to the Jets, but who gives a shit what you did in the third period when you're down 6-1? And you gave, at one point in this hockey game, the Jets had given up more goals than they had shots. Like, that to me is the craziest thing. And now, of course, it wasn't originally Ezzy, but as we talked about, they reduced the number of shots. So the Jets had given up 4 goals and they only had 3 shots on net. So not a good, I mean, one of those shots was a goal courtesy of Vlad Domestikov, but and the one thing I wanted to see, and this to me, Ezzy, is the biggest question for tomorrow, because one thing we saw, you've used these lines. They're not working. You need to make some adjustments. We saw them make adjustments in the third period. And that's what I had joked on the IC Twitter. I said, listen, you're not flipping Domestikov and Iafallo and saying, voila, it's a new team. You need to make some alterations. And ultimately, look, it's hard to say, is it real or is it a mirage? The Islanders were in prevent, right? The Islanders were not attempting to score their 7th, 8th, 9th goals of the game at that point. So the Islanders are not pouring it on. The Jets are, but you had to see, you know, you saw some changes. You needed to make some substantive changes to that lineup, I thought, and they did. And as a result, you got a little bit of pushback. Again, too little, too late, and not good enough, but we'll see if they keep that going. What do you think in terms of if they keep that sort of configuration into the Washington game?
Yeah, it's a good question, Dave, because as you mentioned, we talked about it on this morning show, and we didn't necessarily expect the Iafallo-Domestikov switch to happen in the second period of this game, but when you're down 4-1, and that's when the switch was made by head coach Scott O'Neill, right? I mean, that was the right move, in my opinion, because obviously you know, Scheifele, Connor, IFL were not having a good game. They were badly outplayed when they were out there together. And I think this was the first time maybe all season that we saw the third line broken up, right? We saw Appleton elevated, or it was, you know, the second or third time. We haven't seen the Lowry line broken up a lot, right, Dave? So Toffoli was obviously moved down to the third line, but you know, it's really hard to isolate one or two players in this game because look, when Vlad Nemestikov scored that goal in the first period, it was all Islanders, right? And it could have been worse. Hellebuck was keeping that game a two-goal game, but Nemestikov, it was a nice goal. Obviously, we'll get into it in the Betway game recap. Beauty pass by Morgan Barron at the Islanders' blue line. But I think you will see Nemestikov stay on that top line, Dave. And you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think Cole Perfetti's coming out of the lineup. Sorry, battling a bit of a cold here, Dave, so I might have to drink some more water, but I do expect Nemestikov to stay up on that top line.
Sorry, I muted myself, but Tico Napoli wants to know how I'm here as you're coughing and coughing up a lung, and I'm trying to be the one who's having a conversation. But Tico Napoli is wondering how I'm here at my house and yet interviewing Moose players during the first intermission while the Moose are currently up 1-0 over the the Abbotsford Canucks.
Sorry about that, Dave. I was having a bit of a coughing fit there.
That's all good. But just to answer Tico Napoli's question, those are my interviews from yesterday. So those are the ones that I did after practice and that they're playing today. So if you want to watch those interviews, you can. I've already got them on our YouTube channel. So sorry to the Moose, but we've already got those on our availability if you listened to our practice report yesterday. Anyways, this is a good one from Grizz Smash. Poor Ezzy choking worse than the Jets. Well, you know, again, like I said, we'll get into the Betway game recap right away here, Ez. But like for me, it was all about how that first period was going to go. And you realized right off the hop that the Jets just looked flat. And the rush goals, that third goal against, I think it was the third goal, as if I recall, I think it was the Palmieri goal. But that one was just like, how easy was it to gain the Jets zone? It was the softest butter defense. There was no resistance by the Winnipeg Jets to preventing anyone from gaining access to their zone. And I just was like, what is going on? And then they scored and you're just like, well, this is not going to be a good afternoon for the Winnipeg Jets because they can't seem to get anything going. So not a good afternoon for the Winnipeg Jets, not a good afternoon for Ezzy, who's on a coffin spree right now. But we'll get things going here with the Betway game recap.
Yeah.
And then
I was going to say one thing here, Dave, the three, that was the off of the rush, the Kyle Palmieri goal.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. And you know, and again, this is a goal that's just coming off of a seemingly harmless rush. The Jets have three players back and, you know, Nick Ehlers, you know, is just too slow covering Kyle Palmieri. But that play happened 10 times in the first period.
Yes.
The Jets were just slow to react and there was too much time and space out there for the Islanders. The gaps, as coaches always like to talk about. Well, why do they talk about that? Because if you're not playing tight defensively, the other team's going to gain the zone with ease. And that didn't just happen in the first period. It happened even worse in the second period. It wasn't until you're not going to win a lot of hockey games when the entire game is played in your own zone. And that's what was happening in the first two periods. The Jets just look like a much slower team. And again, the Islanders, look, give them credit. A lot of people thought, myself included, thought that they were done a month ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Patrick Waugh deserves a lot of credit. I'm not sure. I still don't think the Islanders get in because I think if anybody's going to pass the Red Wings, I think it's going to be the Capitals. Mm-hmm. But look, I mean, we talked about it. The Islanders are only 3 points back right now. I think the Red Wings have a game in hand. They might play today. I'm not sure. But the point is that this Islanders team played one of their best games of the season. But unfortunately, the Jets played one of their worst games of the season. And like you said, there were very few power plays. This game was lost at 5-on-5. So the Jets need to obviously have a much better performance. We're going to learn a lot about this Jets team tomorrow because as you talked about, you've got Vegas and Edmonton coming up at home. And then obviously you've got Ottawa, which I think is on the Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. It is, so Ottawa, I mean, that's, you're not scared of the Senators, even though, you know, you've got some good players there, Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stützle, Josh Norris. They've got some good ones, but they're obviously way out of the playoff race. So yeah, tomorrow is going to be huge. The Jets have to flush this one.
Yeah, they do have to flush it. Ezzy's going to flush his system, and we're going to head to something called the Betway Game Recap.
the Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap, as is no surprise, is brought to you by our friends at Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is a sports betting app that puts you, as the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options in sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. And Ezzy, as I always tell you, please play responsibly. Let me tell you, Larry, it was definitely an off day, and I don't think you can just chalk it up to, you know, a one-off. But I just to quickly kind of dovetail off of what Ezzy's point there was, and then we'll get into the goals. I agree with you, Ez. This we're going to see what this team is made of tomorrow. Generally, we don't put a lot of stock in a one-game sort of effort, but to me, this Jets response, you could be upset with the 3-1 game. You got pumped. The 6-3 is flattering because in the third period, who cares? Because the Islanders were not in it at that point. They didn't care. They were happy to take a 6-1. That was a 6-1 game for all intents and purposes. So we'll see what this Jets team is made of. But we saw what they were made of to start this game, and it wasn't good. Cal Clutterbuck, he scores unassisted, 5:22 into the first period. I think the shots at that point were 5-0, I think, for the New York Islanders. And look, they came out the right way. And it was interesting. It was an interesting start for both teams because actually both teams had possession of the puck and there were chances in the zone, but they didn't really create anything that created a chance on their netminder. But here's an opportunity where the Jets win the faceoff, Ezzy, and Neil Pionk is just not sharp. And I mean, I saw some comments saying that you can't blame Neil Pionk for the goal. But, you know, I mean, I guess he loses the puck in his feet. He's not sure where it is. And then Cole Perfetti is standing in front of Connor Hellebuck. And I mean, obviously it's an unfortunate bounce the way it goes off of Namestnikov's stick. But the problem is, like, again, the Jets just aren't sharp. So Neil Pionk doesn't know where the puck is. Perfetti either late to it or he's not tying up Cal Clutterbuck. And you're down 1-0.
That's all Pionk's, man. And again, oh, you know, sure, we're not going to blame Pionk here. But, I mean, it gets caught up in his skates. Mm-hmm. Clutterbuck pokes at it. Hellebuck makes the first save. And then he just bangs in the rebound, right? And as you said, the Jets won this faceoff. So, you know, you're expecting Pionk to take the puck and go up the right side of the ice, right? Like he does all the time. But it's just an ugly goal. And there's no way you can break that first goal down more than, Pionk just, you know, he turns the puck over or it gets lost in his skates. He makes a bad play. And Hellebuck, even though he bails out his teammates all the time, that's a tough play for him, right? Like it's poked quickly. He's not expecting a shot because Pionk is there right in front of him. And it's not like it was a quick face-off win, right? Like it was a slow little dribble back to Pionk. And as we both mentioned, it gets caught up in his skates. And Clutterbuck, the 36-year-old veteran that he is, over 1,000 games played, it was mentioned on the broadcast. Like you said, just jumps on it. And yeah, you could say, you know, Cole Perfetti, you know, is a little bit slow to react. But he's also not expecting Clutterbuck to have that opportunity, right? So again, it's just ugly defensive play by the Jets. And, you know, we saw that throughout the first two periods, not as much in the third period. But that was just an ugly first goal. Ugly, ugly, ugly. I don't know how many times I can say that. But, I mean, you can't really chalk that up more to that. It wasn't a crisp play by Pionk. And, you know, obviously the next goal was where you kind of started to get the feeling that this was not going to be the Jets' afternoon, Dave M.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's not all on Neil Pionk because he and Vlad Namestnikov both go for the puck. And then Namestnikov puts it into a spot where Pionk now doesn't have access to it. So I agree with you, Ezzy. It's not all on one player, but it's a bit of a comedy of errors. And then you have a guy who doesn't tie anybody up. And then suddenly, you know, Connor Hellebuck isn't able to make that early stop. And the Islanders, they have it, and they got to look. It seemed like the crowd was a little bit unusual. There were some Jets fans. We heard them in the pregame during.
Well, there's got to be some Jets folks that are going to all of these games in the New York, New Jersey area, right? Like it's the guys in the top hats and the jet suits. I think they're doing the tour that we did back in 2011 for Drew's bachelor party.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's true. Carl Roche is asking why we're defending Pionk. I'm like, I literally just said it was Neil Pionk's fault. I'm not sure I could.
We're not necessarily defending Pionk.
I'm not. I literally said it was his fault.
What's the point in us, you know, putting all of the blame on him when everybody knows he made a bad play? And yeah, Dylan Pionk weren't good tonight.
No, I was going to say, believe me, trust me, we're going to be talking about it more.
Or Morrissey and DeMello as a D. If you want to look at D pairs, right? Like Sandberg Schmidt was your top D pair, I would say. So, I mean, yeah, top four Jets defensemen did not have a good game, but also top two Jets forward lines did not have a good game. I would almost argue the fourth line was the best Jets line. I actually thought when Lowry, Appleton, and Niederreiter were together, you remember after Namestnikov, Lowry scored the first goal for the Jets, which we'll get into here, after Clutterbuck's second goal. But you remember Lowry had that chance where he stuffed it in tight, and then Varlamov had to make that stretch save. Mm-hmm. So I actually thought the Lowry line was one of the Jets' better lines. But that's not what you want when you're in a must-win game, or I shouldn't say must-win, but you're in a game where you know you want to win it because you lost to the Devils. So, I mean, the Jets are in danger here of losing three games in a row for the first time in a long time, because if you haven't been watching the Capitals lately, they're playing some really good hockey. So the Jets are going to have to be sharp. But yeah, Pionk and Dylan weren't good today, but that's obvious. Everybody knows that. Anybody who watched this game. So, I don't know how much you want to knock one guy.
Sure. And look, here's, you know, again, now a little about 5 minutes later, you've got the Islanders who, I mean, I don't love this goal on Connor Hellebuyck because the Jets really have numbers, Ezzy. I don't love the Jets defense here because even if Clutterbuck doesn't score that goal, they've left the man in front of Connor Hellebuyck. I think, I can't remember who it was specifically, but maybe it was your boy Matt Martin, but like they left someone in front by himself. And so the Jets defensive positioning was okay. And then I don't love this goal on Connor Hellebuyck. I think he needs to make that save because I look to see, oh, maybe Dylan DeMello, you know, blocked it, but he just, I mean, good. It's a good shot by Cal Clutterbuck, but that's one the Jets need Connor Hellebuyck to save.
Yeah, I don't think that there's like it's you can look at it from two ways, right? You can look at it like, well, Clutterbuck is a veteran player and he was feeling it in the first period and it's a nice shot. But also, like you mentioned, Dave, like this looked like a fairly harmless shot and a save that Connor Hellebuyck makes, you know, 9.9 times out of 10, right? Like it's just a shot over the glove side. And obviously, you know, the glove side has been, you know, well documented, you know, that sometimes Hellebuyck, that's the scouting report on Hellebuyck, that you want to shoot glove side. I mean, honestly, I kind of find that funny for a guy who's got the best stats over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years in the NHL. I mean, if that's a weakness, it's not much of a weakness because, you know, Hellebuyck usually allows two goals or less, right? So I would agree with that. And, you know, like you said, Dylan DeMello is the defenseman back on the right side. And he doesn't do anything wrong. We were talking about, you know, the Jets giving the Islanders too much time and space and letting them enter the zone too much. Like, to me, DeMello is in fine position because there was an Islander player that was that he had to worry about. It was a bit of a kind of partial 2-on-1. I forget if it was,
Matt Martin.
Yeah, Matt Martin, because it's Kyle MacLean, Cal Clutterbuck, Matt Martin. That's the fourth line. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, like, again, give Clutterbuck credit. He rips it top corner over the glove side of Hellebuyck. But also, you know, you expect Hellebuyck from that position where the shot was, you know, 15 feet away or to his right, maybe 20 feet. I'm not sure. I'd have to get out the metric ruler, Dave. But again, like at that point, as you mentioned, we're not even 10 minutes into the game and it's 2-0 Jets. And I think, 2-0 Islanders.
Yeah.
And the shots, I think at that point were 10-1 for the Islanders. Right. So,
yeah.
You know, just a horrible, horrible start to the game for the Jets. And again, you didn't have a great start against the Devils either. And I know there's a lot of people in the chat that are talking about, you know, maybe the Jets were reading their press clippings too much after that win over the Rangers. But, you know, come on. Like, this is a five-game road trip. You can't, you know, get too excited about winning the first two games of the road trip. I just don't think the Jets played well. That, to me, that's what it was. And, you know, you start playing well in the third period and you score two goals, fine. But what does that do? I mean, you got 0 points in the game and you were badly outplayed for the first two periods. So,
well, yeah, no, I you're absolutely right, Ezzy. And I was going to say, like, according to Kevin Sawyer on the broadcast, he said, you know, sometimes you can build something and look, that's what we're going to be watching for. That's going to be the ultimate test for this, look, I mean, Connor Hellebuck's allowed to have an off game every once in a while, folks. I mean, the guy's likely your Vezina winner. So, I mean, like, you know, like I said, nobody is immune from criticism on our show, on illegalcurve.com. I mean, like, ultimately, like, we try and call balls and strikes. We don't always get it right, but we try and give you a fair assessment. And what we saw on the in the game, as I can just do a little update, the Moose were up 2-0. I was going to say Christian Reichel 17th of the season. As I don't want to do too much of this live broadcasting, but then the Abbotsford Canucks did manage to cut the lead in half. So it's 2-1 for the Moose in the second period. Christian Reichel, though, I mean, the one thing I will say, and one thing that's kind of relevant, and obviously the Jets are only entitled to have 4 recalls, but if they do want to get some new blood in the old lineup, and I'm not going to blame David Gustafson or anything like that, but you got a lot of guys on the Moose right now who are feeling good about their games and could probably go up and make a bit of an impact. But that's a story for another day.
I just feel like, Dave, that won't happen, as you know, because you just mentioned David Gustafson appears to be the next man in, and then you've got Rasmus Kupari, right? We talked about it. The Jets have options right now when it comes to forward, and then Gabe Vilardi is going to be coming back, so that's going to push, you know, either Cole Perfetti or David Gustafson if he comes back out of the lineup, right? But you're absolutely right. I mean, you can make a strong argument for calling up several players with the Moose, right?
Yeah.
Axel Janssen-Fjällby has been playing well. Brad Lambert has been playing well. Yes. Obviously, Dom Toninato is one of the veteran leaders on the Moose, as you know, right, Dave? Yeah. So, I mean, there's no shortage of Moose. Maybe Henry Nikkanen is in the... Obviously, I'm joking about that. But Henry Nikkanen is actually, as you've been documenting, has been lighting it up in the second half of the Moose season. So
yeah.
I just think there's too many forwards ahead of them right now.
No, you're right.
But all this depends a lot on where Gabe Vilardi's at and you know, if the Jets are still as healthy as they are right now.
Yeah, I just think it's funny looking at the parallels between the two games, because the Moose are currently outshooting Abbotsford 21-5. So they're it's something Jets fans are not used to. It's a little bit of reversal of fortunes, if you will. Okay, Ezzy, we're only through 2 goals, so we got a lot to we got a ways to go, because there's 9 in total. And so the Jets found themselves down 2-0, and as you said, being outshot heavily by the New York Islanders, but they catch a little bit of a break. Vlad Namestnikov gets into double digits as he's able to score on his countrymen. I didn't know if I guess both of them are his countrymen, but he could have ended up being Varlamov in net. We thought it could have been Sorokin, but they decided to go with Varlamov. After Sorokin, I think, has played they said 5 or 6 games. So they went with Varlamov, and he was good for the most part in this game, not tested a significant amount, but you know, Vlad Namestnikov gets up to double digits. Nice. They showed on the broadcast, though, as nice work by Morgan Barron to kind of draw the defender away, Romanov off, and then create some time and space for Vlad Namestnikov, who makes no mistake and puts it home to make it a 2-1 game.
Yeah. Steve B, I'm with you. I mean, look, Mason Appleton scored a goal in the third period, and he obviously was not the problem, but I honestly didn't realize there was a pass originally. It wasn't until they showed it on the replay, Dave, but wow, what an effort by Morgan Barron. And obviously, you know, this is a set play, right? They talked, Jamie McLennan talked about it. Dylan DeMello, you know, hits Morgan Barron at the Islanders blue line. And like you said, it draws Alexander Romanov away from him. And just a really nice goal. And at that point in the game, that wasn't that long after Clutterbuck's second goal, right? It was only a couple minutes,
you know, two or three minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, you know, wasn't that the Jets' second shot of the game?
It was
I joked
on our Twitter, on the IC Twitter, as he's saying, the Jets are going to allow the Islanders to worry about volume. They'll focus on quality of shots. And so that, you know, the first goal on second shot.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that goal was absolutely huge. I think both of us tweeted the same thing, right? Like, it's 2-0 Islanders. You're thinking, like, you know, how bad is this going to get?
Yeah.
And obviously, the answer was 6-1. But, very bad. So, yeah, just a really nice goal. And, you know, we talked about Barron with Jeff Hamilton, and we obviously talked about Namestnikov, and he was rewarded, right? Scott Arneil moves Namestnikov up to the top line. It wasn't until the second period that he made that move. But you can see that, and that goes back to what we talked about since the Jets acquired Namestnikov last year. Like, you wonder why so many teams gave up on him. He's such a smart player. He can play on your fourth line or your top line, right? So really nice goal, but unfortunately for the Jets, that was really the only highlight through the first 2 periods. But I love the pass by Barron, and I love the finish by Namestnikov.
Well, and you wondered, would the Jets be able to build on that, right? Because, 2-1 is not ideal, but I mean, as we said, they're heavily outshot at this point, but you're just down by a goal. and you still have a lot of talent on your roster. So you're wondering what is going to be the next move for the Winnipeg Jets. And as we touched on during our preamble, 4 minutes later, just 4 minutes and 27 seconds later, I should say specifically, Kyle Palmieri makes the Jets defense look like butter, and he's the knife and he's cutting right through it. And I'm sorry to use the analogy, but the defense was as soft as we've seen, you know, a rush goal. And you're just wondering, what are the Jets doing? And I remember, as again, we watched, as did everybody in the chat, and, you know, people who are going to be listening on the podcast after, we all watched these games, you know, in similar fashion, slightly different, you know, but again, the Jets are just slow and they allow this opportunity, and there's just no pushback, and the defense was just brutal. And so, yeah, you give the Islanders credit because they attacked with speed, and they turned a nice play from their zone into a goal. And so you're sitting there, and Kyle Palmieri knows how to score. He's got 23 goals on the season, as he, but again, nice pass from the defense in transition. And like, you know, you talked about it earlier, Nikolaj Ehlers, how often do we ever say he's too slow to get back and intercept the puck? And at that point, he knows, like, he's sticking his stick out, but yep, it's too little too late, and puck's in the back. And then, and honestly, the way the Jets are playing, 3-1 is, you know, we often say, as you get a feel for these games, I felt 3-1. I did not think the Jets team was coming back.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Dylan and Pionk earlier, but, you know, Morrissey and DeBello on this goal, like, to me, they're just not, like, they're too wide apart. And you mentioned Ryan Pollock, obviously from Grandview, Manitoba. I thought he looked excellent.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, we don't watch the Islanders a lot, right? Like, we only see the Islanders a couple times a year. But, you know, we talked about Noah Dobson on this morning show. I don't even think we talked about Ryan Pollock. I don't think we talked about Adam Pellick either. Like, every time I watch him, I'm like, this guy, there's a reason why the year after year after year, the Islanders are a playoff team. Not so much in the last few years, but you never know. They might get in. We'll see what happens. You know, wanted to mention this too, like, as an aside, and then we'll get back, you know, to the Palmieri goal. I told you this, Dave, as we were watching the third period. I just love the fact that Patrick Waugh is behind an NHL bench. Like, I realize that, you know, again, the Islanders might not end up getting into the playoffs, but I just think Patrick Waugh involved in the NHL in any capacity really is a good thing. I mean, I grew up pretty much idolizing Patrick Waugh. I think a lot of kids did, right? Winning those Stanley Cups with the Montreal Canadiens. And then I wasn't as into Patrick Waugh as when he was at the Avalanche, Dave.
Okay.
But certainly I remember, you know, having, you know, a poster of Patrick Waugh in my room. Anyways, I just wanted to mention that. I think it's just good to see Waugh behind an NHL bench because, of course, he's the owner and was the head coach of the Quebec Rampart, right? Mm-hmm. So just wanted to get that in there. But yeah, I mean, again, this is just the Jets getting burned by the Islanders' speed and transition. And like you said, I mean, Bo Horvat makes a nice play at the Jets' blue line, identifying to drop the pass back to Brock Nelson and finds Palmieri. But again, you know, Josh Morrissey is just not tight enough on Kyle Palmieri, and Nikolaj Ehlers is the forward back who is that's his responsibility. So again, it's just too easy for the Islanders to enter the zone, and the Jets just not giving the Islanders too much time and space and just not reacting quickly enough to the Brock Nelson pass to Kyle Palmieri. And that line, the Islanders' top two lines, the top line being Horvat, Nelson, and Palmieri, and then the second line, Barzal, Leaf, Hudson, Fashing. I mean, the Islanders' top two forward lines just dominated the Jets through the first two periods. Like, they looked like the Colorado Avalanche out there. Like, they really did.
Yeah.
So, it just, you know, the Jets have got to be better. And, you know, yes, you could say the Islanders were desperate and all that, but, I mean, there's no excuse for being outshot as badly as they were in the first period and outplayed.
No, that's absolutely the case. And somehow, miraculously, they're only down 3-1 after 20 minutes of play. But as we said, Ezzy, it was originally 14-6, the shots. You're like, okay. Then somehow 14-6 became, they added a shot for the Islanders. They removed three for the Jets. So the shots after 20 minutes were 15-3 somehow. And then the Islanders were going to say, well, you know what? Maybe we'll have more goals than you guys will have shots. And they just, and that was the key, was how are the Jets going to start the second period? They started it terribly. They started it by being outshot 5-0 by New York. So you're thinking, what the hell? And you know, the one thing I want to say, and I saw the comment in the chat, and I spoke about it on Twitter. This Jets team, for whatever reason, hangs on to timeouts. like they're some sort of like commodity that can only be used at the most dire of circumstances. Well, yeah.
I thought they were going to take one. I think you were going to say, Dave, you thought that Scott Arneil was going to use it after the 4-1 goal, right?
Either the 4-1 goal or honestly, I to be honest with you, after the 2-0 goal or the 3-1 goal, I just thought like he'd try and like do something to get this team kind of aware, like, guys, get out of the malaise because you're mired. I joke, our headline against the Devils was they were mired in the swamp. Well, they still looked like they were in quicksand against these Islanders because, you know, you just highlighted the comment, Ezzy. The Islanders looked fast and the Jets looked slow. And obviously the Jets don't have the fastest group with guys like Sean Monahan.
Can we talk about the gun show that's happening in Carr Roche's avatar there? Those are some guns.
They are.
Big flex there. Yeah. Biceps. Biceps and tries looking on point there.
This is fitness hour with Ezra Ginsberg. But no, I mean, look, it's just you wanted to see what the response would be, and the response was absent, right? Like instead of starting off a second period with some gusto, a minute 51 in, you find yourself down 4-1. And again, like I said, like not that shots are everything, and a team could get three or four shots in a sequence, so it's not always indicative. But it just, to me, it just shows again the Jets didn't have the puck, the Islanders did. And there were a couple, like you said, Ezzy, there was that one sequence where the third line kind of dominated. They didn't get anything as a result. But to hear, like, what was Neil Pionk doing on this play? Like, he was just completely absent, allowing Hudson Fasching to basically have his way with Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody in front of the Winnipeg Jets net. It's like he's abdicated all responsibility. You know, Brendan Dillon on the far side, fine, he's along the wall. But like Neil Pionk puts himself into absolute no man's land. And that's not going to help when clearly the Jets are not structured to handle the Devils, the Islanders in this instance. And now a game that is not out of reach at 3-1 definitely feels out of reach at 4-1.
Yeah, well, I mean, Neil Pionk is not sharp on this play, but Brendan Dillon and Neil Pionk are both puck watching and focused on what Matt Barzal's doing. And that was Matt Barzal's 50th assist of the season, by the way. He's a great player. We talked about the Islanders. Like, they are the definition of a score by committee. Barzal is, I would argue, is their most talented offensive player. And I think you know, that's backed up by the fact that he leads the team in points. But when you're talking about Brock Nelson, you know, Anders Lee, Kyle Palmieri, Hudson Fasching, you know, Cal Clutterbuck, Pierre Engvall. I'm not going to go through the whole roster, Dave. But I mean, this is... Look, let's be honest here. This is a team that I think many people thought their ceiling at the beginning of the season was to kind of be a first-round exit type of team, right? Like, I don't think many people were expecting the Islanders to be a top three or even top five team in the East, right? But in this particular play, like, again, this is just not typical Jets defensive hockey. We've talked about it all year. Everybody knows about the long streak where the Jets allowed three or goals less for, what was it, 35 games or something. Like, the Jets allowed three goals in the first period, as you mentioned, Dave. The Islanders has had as many shots as, pardon me, goals as the Jets had shots.
More.
So, like, just unacceptable at this point in the game to be puck watching like that. Like, yes, you have to worry about Matt Barzal, but Neil Pionk's got to worry about Hudson Fasching in front of the net. So just too easy, way too easy for the Islanders, I thought, today. Some of these goals, yes, they earned. Like the first goal, Clutterbuck pounces on a turnover. He earned that. Clutterbuck's second goal, it's a nice shot. Kyle Palmieri, some nice passing by the Islanders. But on this particular goal, like you just leave Hudson Fasching wide open. And it's like, I think I tweeted this at this point in the game, like, this is not on Hellebuck. You're down 4-1, and at most, one goal of the first four goals was Hellebuck's fault, which was Clutterbuck's second goal. I don't think you're faulting him on any other of the goals, even the first goal, because, I mean, he's not expecting for Clutterbuck to pounce on that puck that Neil Pionk wins because the Jets win the faceoff. So, again, just terrible defensive coverage. This was not the Winnipeg Jets this afternoon. That is not the team that we've been watching through 70 games. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what we watched through the first two periods, aside from maybe just awful hockey.
No, I think it's a fair assessment, Ezra Ginsberg. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. We do this each and every time the Jets play. More often than not this season, we've done it after a Jets win. We also do it after a Jets loss. Sometimes we do it after a Jets drew. No, that's, sorry, that's icy drew, but we there are no draws anymore in hockey, right, Ezzy? So
when did they take the ties out? What was that, the late 90s, 1995, 1996?
Has the shootout been there that long? Wow. I thought it was early 2000s.
No, the shootout, I believe, was after the second lockout, right? They brought the shootout in, I think, in 2006, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought it was early 2000s. So anyways, it doesn't matter. Yeah. The point is we do this show after every time the Jets play, whether it's a win or a loss. You join us. We appreciate if you smash that like button. And if you're subscribing to our Illegal Curve channel, and that always helps. And again, the one thing I always ask, if you can, leave a comment. I try and respond as many as I can, and they help with our algorithm. And if you want,
and also watch Bitcoin, and we've got the comment up there, starring University of Manitoba professor Dr. Andrew Haleko. I believe, yes, it's Doctor. I'm assuming that Andrew has his PhD because he's a professor. Also, shout out to my dad, former University of Winnipeg mathematics professor Dr. John Ginsberg. I'm not sure if he's watching. He probably isn't, Dave, because if he was watching the first two periods of that game, my dad probably just, you know, pulled all of his remaining hair out of his head.
Well, I was going to give your dad some credit because I was going to say, when I talk about algorithm, I said, if we need a definition of that, we'll go to Dr. John Ginsberg and he can give us that assessment. Unfortunately for the Jets, though, and as this is where it became Dear Mama territory, 5-1 for the Islanders. Jets have four shots. The Islanders have 5 goals. And of course, that was the end of the night for Connor Hellebuyck when Matthew Barzal scores his 22nd of the season. Hudson Fasching, he gets the primary assist. Anders Lee gets a secondary assist. But I mean, it's just another example of this Jets team. Just, I don't even know how to describe it. They're just, it's like the guys, like you watch Kyle Connor right away, instead of going deep in the zone, he's abandoning ship. And who's in front of the net? Once again, Neil Pionk and Brendan Dillon. Not a good game, as we've touched on throughout the course of this broadcast. But you're at the midpoint of the hockey game. You're now down 5-1 to a team that's not in the playoffs. And again, we've talked about the desperation, but you're just, everything about this, like Anders Lee is like basically in a tent set up in front of Connor
Hellebuyck. Jets killer, Anders Lee. He always scores against the Jets, it seems like.
Absolutely. But I mean, again, Hudson Fasching working hard in front of the net. And it just seemed like, and again, this is my interpretation, the Islanders just looked like a team that wanted it more than the Winnipeg Jets today.
Yeah.
And so you've got a situation right now. It's 5-1 for the Islanders.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we talked about that we weren't going to pick on Neil Pionk too much because obviously, as you mentioned, Dave, you know, this is just a spin around shot by Anders Lee. He's a big man. We know that. He is a big man, 6'3". I don't know how much he weighs. I mean, he's probably 220 pounds. I don't know. You can't really rely on hockey DB because I don't think that they change those stats a lot. But the point is, Anders Lee is a large man. And he just beats Neil Pionk in front of the net. And, you know, at this point, you know, I was thinking, okay, they're not going to pull Connor Hellebuyck because you expect Lauren Brossoit to start. But then after that fifth goal, I was like, okay, like if anything, you're pulling Connor Hellebuyck out of the game just out of respect to Hellebuyck that he has to play in front of this crap. Right. And obviously they showed Scott Arneil go over and, you know, we had Scott Arneil on the 15th anniversary show. And I, to me, that is very important to note that. And I realize a lot of Jets fans saw that watching the game, but for Scott Arneil to go up, and we obviously don't know exactly what he said, but you have an idea of what he said, like, okay, you know, forget about this one. You know, this is not on you, Helly. Right. So I think, you know, that when they showed that, I mean, that's just an experienced hockey coach knowing what to say to a goalie who didn't have a very good period, right? And obviously the Jets didn't have a very good first two periods either. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Dave. This was just a continue. Like, look at it. The game was over when it was 4-1. So yeah. I mean, I like at this point, I'm watching this game going like, how much, you know, is it going to be 6-1? Is it going to be 7-1? Obviously, we know the final. They only scored 6 only. But I mean that the game was so over at that point, and you know that the let's be honest here, the Barzal Lee Fasching line just absolutely dominated against the Jets. But you know, again, the Scheifele line was out there, and you know I just didn't think they were very good this afternoon, and that's why you saw Scott Arneil move up Nemestikov for Iafallo, because they just were getting badly outplayed when Matt Barzal's line was out there against the Scheifele Connor Iafallo line. I mean, they were just, it was so one-sided.
Well, and speaking of one-sided, because 5 minutes later, it doesn't matter if it's Connor Hellebuck or Laurent Brossoit, when the defense is this porous and this soft, I mean, it doesn't really matter how good your goaltenders are or if they're, you know, a Vezina nominee slash winner. But Anders Lee gets his 18th of the season because Neil Pionk is unable to handle him in front. And, you know, again, it's a great set play by the Islanders. And you talk about Matt Barzal and how talented he is, right, Ezzy? But it's just a quick redirect. He knows that Anders Lee is in front of the net. And Anders Lee just uses Neil Pionk as a screen.
Yeah.
A little bit of a basketball play almost. And he just turns around and fires it on net. And suddenly it's 6-1. And you're like, Jets have 12 shots at this point in the game. I think the Islanders had, hold on, I have it here. I don't know, 33 shots. So it was 6 goals on 33 shots and 1 for the Jets on 12. Not a good way to go. 6-1 at this point. Again, like I said, it's not going to matter what the Jets did in the third period. And Again, like I said, you can throw it out. I know that Kevin Sawyer on the break said that they'll use this and they'll build on this. And it'll be interesting to see if they continue the lines, which we'll talk about afterwards. But at this point, it's 6-1, and we thought it was over at 3-1. We thought it was over at 4-1. We thought it was over at 5-1. We know it's over at 6-1.
Absolutely. Nobody's coming back. Really, most teams are not. I shouldn't say nobody, but most of the time, you're not coming back from 4-1, let alone 6-1. And
right.
Dave, actually, I made a mistake there. Namestnikov, for the 5-1 goal, Namestnikov was on the top line. Iafallo was bumped down to the fourth line. But the point is, Scheifele and Connor did not have a good game. I think most people watching that game would agree with that. And I think that is troubling. I mean, I think we're in game 70. The season's almost over. It's hard to believe, but we've only got 12 games left.
Yep.
And I think once the playoffs start, it's a whole new beast. I don't think we're going to be talking about, you know, the loss to the Islanders or the loss to the Devils or anything like that. But
no,
you have to learn from your mistakes here, because you look at the last, I don't know, Dave, 20 to 25 games, the Jets are a 500 team, right? Like they are. They just are. The Jets have not put together a long winning streak in a long time here.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be concerned a little bit about this kind of one win, one loss type of hockey that we're seeing. And as we talked about before, this game against the Capitals is huge. In my opinion, you have to get at least a point out of this game, considering how you played yesterday, just to feel better about yourself. And obviously, Dave, if the Capitals win this game in regulation, but the Jets play really well and it's a, you know, 3-2 game or a 4-3 game, whatever, then yeah, you can, you know, take some solace in the fact that you played well against the Capitals.
Yeah.
But you have to put in a much better performance tomorrow, because the thing that bothers me most about this game, and I mentioned it, you know, in the first 10 minutes of the show, is that the response, the pushback was just not there in the second period. In fact, they played worse in the second period that they did in the first period. So that's what concerned me the most, is that, okay, if you're not ready to play, Clutterbuck scores an early goal and then he scores again, so you're down 2-0, you know, in the first 8 or 9 minutes of the game, fine.
Yeah.
But then you weren't able to recover. You weren't able to make adjustments and you weren't able to slow down that attack. We talked about it. The top line, the Horvat, Palmieri, Nelson line was good, but it was actually the second line.
Yeah.
If that's what you're going to call it. I don't know if they call that the second line. On Daily Faceoff, they have it as the second line. But the Barzal, Anders Lee, Hudson, Fashing line.
Unbelievable.
Just dominated.
Yeah.
And it's a good line, don't get me wrong. But, you know, where was Monahan, Ehlers, Toffoli this afternoon, right? Like, they just didn't have, you know, much going. Obviously, in the third period, you know, Ehlers has the nice quick shot and Mason Appleton, might as well just get into that goal.
Hashtag spoiler alert.
Well, it's the eighth goal of the game. It's a 6-2 goal, but it just, I mean, at that point, it just doesn't matter. So yes, good on Mason Appleton. You know, he continues to have a great season. But it wasn't until Arneil brought out the super blender that the Jets actually started playing well.
Okay, so before you get into that, it was funny. So I tweeted this from the IC account. I said, what sort of pushback did we see from the Jets in the second period, finding themselves down 3-1 after 20 and outshot 15-3? None. The answer, none. They find themselves down 6-1 after 40 and outshot 23-12 in the middle frame. So again, this was
23-12. Think about that for a second.
In a game that you're already absurd. Losing, right? So you're losing the game, and yet somehow you don't expect. Like, good on the Islanders. I mean, again, it's a credit to the New York Islanders, who didn't sit back and rest on their laurels, right? And that was one of the things I think Dan Robertson said at the start of the broadcast, when he talked about the fact that, you know, you want to see who was going to be on their toes and ready to go. Well, it was the New York Islanders from the puck drop. and for 40 minutes afterwards. And the Winnipeg Jets were not that team. And so hold on, let's go to what the super blender looked like, because again, I don't know if Scott O'Neill likes shakes, but he was definitely blending the lines up.
Well, you had Scheifele, Ehlers, and Appleton in the third period.
Yeah, so I'm going to read the lines here, as and we'll go into it. But Ehlers, Scheifele, and Appleton start things off. Connor, Monahan, Nemesnikov, Niederreiter, Lowry, Toffoli, and Iafallo, Barron, and Perfetti. So that is your forward groups to start the third period. Now, guys and girls, it's all well and good that the Jets outshot the Islanders, 17-3, and outscored them 2-0. In the third period. But unfortunately for the Jets, hockey games are not 20-minute hockey games.
Well, and also, right, as you know, Dave, the Islanders completely sat shelled. Back.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're just happy to give the Jets the neutral zone.
Absolutely.
And they, I mean, again, like you said, when you have a 5-goal lead in the third period, and also, by the way, this was mentioned on the broadcast, the Islanders have a massive game against the Devils tomorrow.
Who
they're also battling. We talked about it. The Red Wings hold the last wildcard spot in the East. But you've got the Capitals, Islanders, and the Devils all chasing. The Penguins are out of it now. They've lost a bunch of games. So the Penguins are going to be golfing pretty soon. So, yeah, I mean, those two goals, even though I mentioned this to you, you love to see Cole Perfetti get the monkey off of his back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that has absolutely nothing to do with the outcome of the game. That's just a nice thing to see for Perfetti individually after being a healthy scratch for 4 games.
Yeah, and look, we're not going to spend too much time breaking these goals down, but, you know, Mason Appleton gets his 13th of the season, and it's Nikolaj Ehlers takes a shot to create a rebound, right? And Nick, you know, again, he uses his speed to get into the zone, and credit Mason Appleton. Again, a guy who has some speed uses it to get, you know, into some soft ice, and the Islanders were actually caught puck watching a little bit. But if you look at the defensive structure of the Islanders, even on this goal, you can just see they're in total prevent. Now, again, they're watching the puck as opposed to watching the man. And so it allows Appleton to create that time and space. So he gets his 13th goal of the season, as Nikolaj Ehlers gets his 30th assist of the year and the 50th assist to Josh Morrissey. So some useless potpourri. That's 2 consecutive seasons with at least 50 for Josh Morrissey and his 300th point in the NHL.
Yeah, and I love the speed of Ehlers here, and I love the fact, like you said, Ehlers knows exactly what he's doing here.
Yeah.
That shot comes off of Varlamov's chest, and that's even though neither of us are goalies, Dave, mm-hmm. I mean, that you can just tell the way Varlamov handled, like, it was so hard for him. He had absolutely no ability to direct. We've talked about this with Kevin Woodley and Marty Biron, and we've talked about this, like, goalies love to be, you can tell how well a goalie's playing by the way that they're directing those rebounds. But Varlamov can't, and obviously how they're tracking the puck and other things, but Varlamov can't control where that rebound goes. And so it's just really good identification by Mason Appleton by going to the net and just absolutely pouncing on that rebound. And we've seen Appleton, he scores goals like that, right? Like mm-hmm. Appleton is a guy who, you know, he gets some nice goals, but for the most part, Appleton gets those greasy goals, going to the net, pouncing on rebounds, kind of playing off of Lowry and Niederreiter on that third line, right? So it's a nice goal, but it just didn't mean anything. Like, it was 6-2 at that point, but you like to see it. And I know some people in the chat were talking about, like, could you see Scheifele and Ehlers stick together? Like, look at Dave. You know, it's been way too long of an afternoon for me to you know, talk about, you know, how Ehlers should play with Scheifele, because I feel like we've been talking about that for 5 years now.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think that you're going to see Scheifele, Ehlers, and Appleton start tomorrow's game. I think you're going to see Connor, Scheifele, and Nemesnikov to start tomorrow's game. That's just my prediction. And I mm-hmm. think you're going to see Appleton back on that third line with Lowry and Niederreiter.
Yeah, and look, we'll save that for tomorrow's Illegal Curve postgame show, which comes your way. Is tomorrow is a 12:00 start for the Jets or 11:30?
I think it's 11:30.
11:30. So we'll be 12:30, 1:30, about 2:10, Ezzy, when we come to you on tomorrow's postgame show. But we're not quite done yet, because a guy who finally gets the monkey off his back, 23 games without a goal for Goal Perfetti, who wasn't Goal Perfetti for a while. But he gets his 15th of the year. And, you know, I credit him.
Hold on, Dave. I got you here.
Oh.
The Seagram shot of the game.
I was going to end up giving it to Christian Reichel, Ezzy, because at this point, if I forgot, it's a good point. Thanks. Our thanks, of course, to our friends at Seagram's for their support of our show.
Save the best for last. I mean, it was looking like, you know, we were going to have to give it to Vlad Namestnikov after, you know, that first period goal, because it didn't look like the Jets were going to score another goal in that game. But we got to give it to Perfetti. First goal in 24 games, right, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. And so, look, he needed to get off the schneid, if you will. And so big shout out to our friends at Seagram's. Even Doug said that shot was deserving of the shot of the game, and it was. And I would have had some fireball, but unfortunately Drew drank it all to drown his sorrows after his Kentucky Wildcats got knocked out. But we got Drew on the Michigan State bandwagon, so he's going to be a Sparty for the remainder of the tournament. But I, of course,
that's Jim Slater's former team, right, Dave?
Mason. Speaking of Mason Appleton, his former club as well. So the Jets have taken more guys from Michigan than they have from Michigan State. But there are definitely a few of them who have played at Michigan State on this team. But Cole Perfetti, good work by him. And that was the thing, right? He steals the puck, retrieves it a second time before getting it on the net. And credit Alex Iafallo, because this goal is unassisted. But if he's not creating havoc in front of the net, which is exactly what you want from Alex Iafallo, that goal is not going in. But he's distracting Varlamov, who's busy hitting him. And they get a goal. And so, yeah, it's too little too late. I jokingly tweeted saying, don't go. I think it was with 2 minutes and 10 seconds to go. And I said, don't go anywhere. You know, could this be a comeback? No, but it's not going to be a comeback, but you're going to join us on the Allele Curve post-game show. So stick around. And
by the way, Stacey, I think is doing her best to become IC's number one fan. Spencey obviously has held that title.
Phyllis
is up there as well, but Spencey,
your boy Bruce,
has held that title since the 2023 New Year's Eve show when he broadcasted live from the hot tub in Sage Creek. But Stacey, I mean, she's been on fire, literally, with the fireball.
All right. Well, thank you, Stacey. And look, unlike Ezzy, you're all my favorites. I don't pick favorites. I think everybody in here is equally important.
I definitely pick favorites.
The Minuk family does as well. We focus on favorites in terms of our familial relationships, but you know, this is a family, the Allele Curve family as well. But we appreciate everyone. Maybe I have some tiers in my mind, but I don't pick favorites. I've got everybody in certain tiers. And Drew, he's in the lowest tier. Ezzy and I,
Drew, lowest tier. Absolutely. He's in the, the third percentile or something.
Yeah. 7JB, 7B, you're one of the top in the top tier. I mean, we got a lot of top tier folks in here. That's the folks who join us each and every time we do this. This has been the Allele Curve post-game show. We're not done quite yet, but that was the conclusion, the 6-3 goal. And the Jets, have a tough night. We didn't hear the comments. I didn't have a chance. They're available on the
Allele Curve. Imagine Scott Arneal spoke for long, Dave.
No, I would imagine not. I think I saw someone in the chat said that Adam Lowry spoke and he wasn't particularly happy. And that's good. The captain should speak after a game like that.
What they should have done is they should have gone back to Rick Bowness. I'm sure
in Winnipeg.
I'm sure Rick Bowness was, I can't imagine, obviously, you know, we wish Bones all the best because he had a minor procedure, but I think the expectation is he's going to be back behind the bench for the first game of the homestand, right? But I'm sure, you know, whatever was around Rick Bowness, he was probably throwing at that TV.
Yeah, so Phyllis is telling us it was Lowry, Josh Morrissey, and Scott Arneal. Kim Sawchuk, don't worry, Kim. You are in a top tier. T. Konopoli, Partisan Paul, Larry TSG. You're all at, see, that's the thing. Unlike Ginsburg, I just got my top tier folks. Then I got the folks who are not so top tier.
Dino's up there. I'm not going to pronounce his last name, though.
Yeah, Tracy's up there. I mean, we got a lot of top tier folks. That's
Apostolopoulos. What about that? Apostolopoulos.
That seems right. Dieter Meister.
Beautiful Greek name.
Dietermeister's,
I mean, Dino, I go to Greek Market. I'm in River Heights, so I go to Greek Market all the time. Greek food is unbelievable. I'm a big fan of that pastitio.
There's the first time I went to Greece, I actually ordered pizza, and the guy said, "You came all the way to Greece to eat pizza?" I go, but I like pizza. So I mean, and I was coming from Italy, so that's what I expected. Anyways, Jets lose.
Did you just say the first time that you went to Greece? You've been to Greece multiple times?
No. I said the first time I went to Greece.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I've never been to Europe, Dave, and you're going to Europe. It seems like time here.
I've been to Italy.
Yeah, you've been to China. You've been to Hawaii. I mean, where haven't you been? That's the real question.
Hey, look, right now I can tell you where I'm not is on holidays. Unlike Drew Mandel, who's missed his second of three shows this weekend.
Well, Drew's retired, so I mean, that's what retired people do. They go on vacation all the time, right?
Yeah. Patrick S., our second best fan in PA here. I didn't even know we had a second. Patrick, well done. Thank you very much. Now, where in PA are you, Patrick? That's the big question.
W. Patrick Jones actually can't answer you. He can't answer you live here, Dave. So you're gonna have to wait for his chat.
I pose the question, and then Patrick will respond to the question as he. And then we got a hi, W. Jones, hi from Norway. So look, we appreciate it. And I got to tell you, on illegalcurve.com, oftentimes I get almost like a heat map, as he, of where people are.
Harrisburg, there you go.
Good old Harrisburg. So I get a heat map to show us where people are reading the website from, and obviously significantly in Manitoba, big in Saskatchewan as well. So I appreciate that.
Are Patrick S and Stacy S related, by the way? We have a good communique in the chat right now between Patrick and Stacy talking about Pennsylvania. It's pretty funny.
And now Stacy's saying her bro lives in Lancaster. Anyways, the point I was making is we get folks from all across North America and actually across the world. John Chan, of course, in Asia. So we appreciate everybody who joins us from wherever you join us each and every time we go live here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. And as you experienced this morning, the Illegal Curve hockey show. But this was the Betway game recap brought to you by, no surprise, our friends at Betway. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. So head on over to Betway and Ezra, bet your way. But always remember, please play responsibly. Must be 19 years old or older to play. Okay. Well, speaking of our sponsors, we got to give them a shout out. Ezzy and I are going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Moose Thoughts. The Moose are tied in after 40 minutes with those pesky Vancouver Abbotsford Canucks, but they are dominating on the shot score right now. So not score, shot clock, I should have said, Ezzy. But we'll talk about that when we come back from these words from our sponsors.
BP's new New York Sicilian Square Footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're going to have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian Square Footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download GridPark, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I was going to say hockey show because we did that earlier this morning. Hopefully,
I feel like today has just been one long show, Dave.
It feels that way when we have these morning games, Ezzy, and we do the show till 11. Just imagine if it was like the way we used to do the show, right till noon. It was a three-hour show, so we would have just run right into the hockey game, but we didn't do that, of course, because we ended 11. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that show, I think it's worth downloading and listening to. So if you're going to have some time this evening, because the Jets are, you know, done for the day, the Moose have a third period to go in their contest with the Abbotsford Canucks. 2-2 is the score in that one. Moose outshot Abbotsford 14-2 in the first and 21-6 in the second. But that score is 2-2 in that game. They didn't make any changes to their lineup. We'll get into that a little bit later. But if you didn't get a chance to listen to Ezzy and I this morning, and we had Frank Cervalli and Jeff Hamilton on, I think it's worth downloading. So download that show, give it a listen. And like I said, watch it on, you can watch the replay on our YouTube channel. You can download the podcast and listen to wherever you get your podcast downloaded, Ezzy. Easy for me to say. All right. Are we ready to go with the Tough Duck hardest hitting, or are you still
perusing? Just give me one second, Dave. I just have to find it, but just give me 1 second. Sure. And then I don't know if you want to do the Manuk Moose minute right now, or
cue me up. Cue me up.
Hold on.
I'll cue myself up.
I'll cue you.
Okay.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, I did kind of like a, that was like a, I guess a preamble to my Manuk Moose minute, because I did a little bit, but we'll allow Matt Hyman's comment to go up there, because even though we already wished Tyrell Bauer, the 2026 rounder of the Winnipeg Jets, a happy birthday, we don't want to be one punched by him. So we'll give him a happy birthday shout out on this show for the second time today. But he and his Moose are hoping for a big third period. They're looking for a comeback after their loss against Grand Rapids on Wednesday, after defeating Grand Rapids on Tuesday. So as I said, no changes for the Moose. They went with the same lineup. Sometimes they flip Carson Golder and Daniel Torgerson in and out of the lineup on that fourth line, but they stuck with the lineup as it was. Thomas Milic, as he keeps rolling. I expect Colin Delia will be the goalie tomorrow, but it seems like right now the Moose have a lot of confidence in the Moose. Well, the Moose and the Jets organization has a lot of confidence in Thomas Milic, although he's given up 2 goals on 8 shots. So not ideal afternoon. I haven't had a good chance, of course, to watch the game because I was here with all you folks. Usually I would sometimes go to the arena and do this show there. It's a little bit easier when Drew and I and you are all on the show together. But anyways, the Moose are tied 2-2 after 40 minutes. The goal is coming by Kyle Capobianco. I mean, he's having a very good season, as he's up to 44 points, the second highest scoring defenseman right now in the entire AHL. So he's been really good for Manitoba. He's not anything I'd call a defensive specialist, but he gets the first goal of the game. Again, if you haven't seen them, I have them on our IC Twitter, or on IC Dave's Twitter. That's me. And then I'll have them after on the game recap. And then the only other goal scored was Christian Reichel. He scores his 17th of the season on the power play. So that made it 2-0. And then the Canucks, they managed to get back Max Sassoon, Vidal's son. He scores to make it.
That's hilarious.
Thank you. I thought if anybody's going to appreciate that one, it's Big Daddy Ezra Ginsberg. He scores about 30.
I wonder if he is related to the Sassoon, what is it, hair care products? Yeah, is that what they do?
I think so. Yeah, I think
Sassoon dynasty.
Yeah, exactly. He scores about 31 seconds after Christian Reichel made it 2-0. So it was a 2-1 game. And that assist, the 20th assist of the season, actually, for Jet Wu, the Winnipegger, as you know him for your time in hockey with Hockey Manitoba, the Wu family, very well.
Great hockey player. And his younger brother, Jonas,
who
played for the Winnipeg Ice, I believe is draft eligible. He might be draft eligible in 2025, but he'll be drafted. He'll be taken in the first two picks. He's, of course, playing for Wenatchee now.
Yeah, yeah. So he assists on that goal. And then a few minutes later, Linus Karlsson, he gets them the equalizer on the power play. So it's 2-2 in Winnipeg. I believe the third period has just gotten underway. It's a minute into the third period. And so we'll see which team comes out. But it's a big game for the Moose after losing that game against Grand Rapids, because both Chicago and Iowa are charging. And look, I talked to the Moose this week, Ezzy. They've got their focus on the fourth place spot. If they can catch Texas, who looks like it's going to be the fourth place team, the Dallas Stars organization, then Moose will have home ice advantage for the best of three. And you want that, an opportunity. Like they said, they want to play in front of their fans. So we'll see if they can do it. They need a big third period. We'll keep you posted if we keep on this show for a little bit longer. And if not, illegalcurve.com.
Stacy's off to the Erie Otters game, but Stacy did not win the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Oh, even though Stacy S and Patrick S, we don't believe that they're related. Both last names starting with an S, obviously that's a terrible joke there, but they had a great conversation. At one point they were debating where traffic was worse, in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, which I thought was quite amusing. But we are going to give tonight's Tough Tuck hardest hitting comment.
Hold on. I gotta cue you up. You queued me up. Let me cue you up, my friend. So hold on. Let's go for the hardest hitting comment.
The Tough Tuck hardest hitting comment.
I like it, Dave M. Thanks for queuing up that bumper. Thanks to everybody who's still joining us here late Saturday afternoon, and everybody who participated in the chats. Lots of good comments. We're going to give it to, I believe this is his second time winning. That is Owen, is Owen. E-O-G-H-A-N is the Gaelic, Irish, if you will, spelling of Owen. So Owen is Owen. Like this comment from here. If you want to go anywhere in the playoffs, urgency can't be a switch you can find when you need it, just because you can bring it now and then when you play a good team. And I think that's a great comment here. The Jets didn't play very well against New Jersey, especially on the penalty kill. And the first two periods, I think, Dave, you would agree, were the worst two periods of the season. That 5-0 loss to the Canucks a couple of Saturdays ago, that was a bad loss. I think up until that point, that was probably the worst loss of the Jets season. But they certainly need to rebound, Dave, with a better performance tomorrow against the Capitals, because the Capitals are charging hard for that last wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. So we're going to learn a lot about this Jets team tomorrow against the Capitals. So Owen, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or slide into my DMs on X @ICEZEG, and we will send you another Tough Duck comment, because I think Owen has won at least one. He might have won a couple, but he's obviously a staple of the IC postgame chat. So good. Congrats to Owen.
Again, another one of those upper tier members of the chat.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah. Owen is definitely upper tier.
That's what we like. That's what we like on this show. And that's why we appreciate each and every one of you, regardless of where you are in the tiers. And as I said, just hopefully that this is top tier analysis. That's what we try and bring you each and every time the Jets play. And, whether it's a win or a loss, last two have been losses. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Remember, we'll be with you as soon as that final buzzer rings between the Jets and Capitals in Washington, D.C. Fun city. I've been there a few times, as if we're keeping track of places I've been. So
it's been a while. Greece, China, Hawaii. Like, it just, you're Mr. Worldwide. Forget Pitbull.
Well, anyways, it'll be a good game. It'll be a fun environment. We'll see if Jets fans follow the team to Washington to see them take on the Capitals. They may not have the last couple of performances, but it's been a busy Saturday. And like I said, no Jets. The Moose are still tied 2-2 between themselves and Abbotsford, with about 5 minutes gone in that third period. So we'll see what happens there. Again, keep it locked to illegalcurve.com for those updates, or my Twitter, Ezzy's Twitter, ICEZEG. We'll try and keep you guys and girls informed as to what's going on with both the NHL and AHL clubs of Winnipeg. Frosty, if you're going to do it, time to get ready.
Hold on a second. We got Big Spence here, who's pushing for another toque. Unfortunately, you're going to have to watch tomorrow's postgame show, Big Spence. I don't think Big Spence is Spencey. I don't think Finkel is Einhorn here. I think Big Spence 17 is a different person than Spencey Sutton. But yeah, unfortunately, we only give out one Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. But I like that comment, because you agree with us that Vladdy Namestnikov should be on the top line.
There you go. Well, thanks to Big Spence for the comment. Ezzy and I are both trying to highlight the comments. I'll let Ez do that, because we're going to give a big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the postgame show, the Saturday show, and the website, illegalcurve.com, a possibility. They are, in no particular order, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Grid Park. Use code Illegal Curve to park for free. And reminder, we're going to have free parking for the remaining 8 Jets home games, courtesy of our friends at Grid Park. So stay tuned to that. Make sure you're subscribing. Make sure you're following us on all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky.
This could Threads. Be the, what is Blue Sky?
I have no idea. I only
like Drew literally... told us I registered a legal curve on Blue Sky. Like, do we not have enough social media platforms with TikTok and LinkedIn and X and Facebook and Instagram and Friendster and High Five and MySpace and everything like that? I was just going to say quickly, Dave, before you read the rest of the sponsors,
sure.
This Grid Park promotion might be the greatest promotion in Manitoba, Winnipeg history. I mean, what is better than free parking? All Winnipeggers do is complain about how expensive parking is downtown. So thanks to our friends at Grid Park, that's going to be one of the better promotions that we've run on the post-game show.
And it's reminded, that's a good point by you, Ez, and is reminded by 7JP7B. Don't forget YouTube. Of course, hit that subscribe button on YouTube and smash the like button if you've enjoyed watching the show with Ezzy and I. And then maybe we'll take that as authority that you don't want Drew back. We'll see. But Drew probably will be joining us, not tomorrow. We know that it'll be Ginsburg and Manuk again tomorrow, but Drew will be joining us later in the week. But anyways, let's keep going with the sponsors. Let's thank them. Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. All right, Ez, any final thoughts?
We should mention that we're going to be at Boston Pizza for the first Jets playoff game. Obviously, we're not away playoff game. We're not sure if the Jets are going to have home ice. Hopefully, the Jets do get home ice advantage, but just wanted to get that in there for the folks that are wondering about our next Boston Pizza live on location show. We're going to be doing that for the first Jets away game of the playoffs. We're not going to be doing any more regular season games, but we will be doing the first away game of the playoffs. So that hopefully is game 3.
There you go. We'll find out what that's going to look like when we know. You will know. Reminder, 7 or 8 more days, whatever, however many days there are left in March, Ez, for you to order your Illegal Curve gear. I posted a link to it in the morning show. There's a link under the merch tab on illegalcurve.com. So if you want a hoodie like I'm wearing right now, or a hat like I'm wearing right now, or a shirt that I think Ezzy's wearing under that hoodie, then you have to go on the merch store and click on it. And like I said, you'll have.
I'm also wearing my IC undies too, Dave.
Of course. Yes, yes. It's just a picture of Drew's face. But anyways, I digress. Anywho, thanks again for joining us on Saturday after the Jets and Islanders game. We appreciate everyone who joins us each and every time we go live. And again, enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
See you in 22 hours.
I was just going to say, and see you tomorrow after the Jets and Capitals. So enjoy the rest of your day. Have a great Saturday night, folks, and we'll see you when we see you right as soon as the final buzzer erupts and we go live.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.